And we're back on the boat.
Finally, it's been long enough.
We have been at sea.
Let's see, did we do one of these over the summer?
Yep.
We did two.
Did we post them?
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
We did top 5 television characters.
Yep. That was one.
Which was an interesting episode. I listened to it again not too long ago.
Was it pretty good?
It was pretty good.
I think we probably did our most research for that episode.
Well, it required research.
You got mad about my number
one. Oh, because you picked freaking Sawyer.
I remember that.
No.
No, you didn't.
He picked Coach.
I did James Roday. Sean Spencer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why was I mad about that?
You said...
Because I did Dexter and there was no Walter White.
Yeah.
Or Jackson.
Oh, right.
You really, after I listened back to it, you were legitimately like...
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah. You were like... Where's Walter White?
There was a point, which is funny, because
I am very, vaguely familiar with Breaking Bad. I have not remotely sat through the series, but I'm like, he's a staple.
He did.
Where is he?
He did, Sean. I led in making everybody think it was Walter White.
Yeah.
And you were genuinely confused for about a good 2 minutes. Wait a minute. Mine's Breaking Bad. His is Sean Spencer. What about what?
He made you think that it was Walter White.
And you have to have Dexter.
You're leaving off two.
And you have to have Walter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It was good. And then John David's was, of course, Bill Cosby.
That is very true.
Yep.
Well, if we redo that one.
Has there ever been anyone who has taken a harder fall from grace?
We have to move on. I'm not emotionally prepared to deal with this topic.
Yeah, I'll just... Bill, if you're listening. Listen, man. Just turn the electricity off in your home.
Just run away.
Period.
Run away. Move to, Cambodia.
I know that you own a jet. Do us a favor. Just get back in America's good graces. Load that jet up with fuel, manure, bleach... And drive it straight into North Korea, the ground.
Also,
let's just...
I mean, we've forgiven people for worse things once they leave the country, Roman. I don't know, I'm not saying worse things.
Yeah, we didn't forgive.
Not worse things, but...
The same thing, literally.
Yeah, just the same.
Literally, yeah. Roman Polanski.
I mean,
he's been gone 40 years now.
Roman Polanski left the country?
He was accused...
The same thing, but with children.
With a 13-year-old and a hot tub in Hollywood in the 70s. And he just went to France. Has won an Oscar since then. Take a good-looking beer, Academy.
Proud to be an American right now.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit. That's my stance on the whole situation.
Jesus.
Ooh, okay. All right, moving on.
Moving on.
So, tonight. Yeah, it's night. So... We are back again with the floaties. That was a trumpet, a real one.
It's a kazoo.
That was that instead.
Everyone's favorite musical instrument.
Yeah. We're gonna kick it off this year with the music because we have not yet seen enough movies. We realized when trying to make movie lists.
We've seen enough, but there's still some that we each feel like we need to see before it's a legit list.
I have not seen enough movies.
Never mind.
I did not go to the movies this year, apparently.
He watched Big Hero 6 and that was it.
Five times.
Big Hero 6. It did not make my top 5, though it was very good. All right.
I'll hold a grudge against Big Hero 6 for the end of time. But that will be discussed on the movie edition of the Floaties.
Sure.
We're going to kick things off by naming off the 10 most downloaded songs.
Just seeing where we are as a society
in 2014.
In music.
Yep.
Just getting a brief overview of the landscape that we're working with here. Okay.
Okay, do we want to go 10 to 1?
10 to 1.
10 to 1.
Countdown style. Here we go. Coming in at number 10, everyone's favorite reggae song, Rude by... Magic! Because it's all caps with an exclamation point after it.
So, that song doesn't make sense. Because you ask for permission.
Yep.
but then don't care.
But then you don't get it, and you're like, why are you so rude? But it's like, well, you asked a question, and the question was answered, and you're in a band, so of course he's going to say, no, you can't marry my daughter.
You're in a reggae band at that.
Well, no. Like, no, you're in a occasionally fake reggae band.
Called Magic.
Magic!
I know, I have nothing against them because I, well, I do because I hate that song, but that's the only song I know by them, but I
some of the other stuff's okay. That song, well, never mind. It's just one too many times, as will be the case with most of these, I feel.
It's just genuinely not well written at all.
I agree.
Anyway, moving on. Hey, yeah, really quick, I give it slight props for being a tiny bit different from other things on the radio.
True.
And like, it's just about something else.
It is nice to have an actual band. Be mainstream.
It is. So I'll give you minor props. Minor props. Magic!
Magic! Okay, number 9. Turned Out for What by DJ Snake and Lil Jon.
I give that a thumbs up.
Rolling Stone
had that at their number 2 song. Second best song of the year.
Like, not just ratings. This is like critics' pick.
Yep.
Number 2.
Yep. Lord have mercy. Actually, I like that. I like Turned Down for What. I've heard it way too many times in every gymnasium that I've been in.
Revolutionized the football genre.
Yes.
If that is a genre.
Basketball.
Everybody yeah, I mean,
it. Tennessee had third down for what?
Yeah.
For Michelle Obama had, this is for real, she had turn up for what? And it was a turnip.
Turn, yeah, that's what I was just about. I created that in my head before you said that, and I had no idea about
Thank
it.
Thank you,
so that's
Michelle.
Cool. I knew it was going to have something to do with healthy food.
From AT&T or Verizon or whoever it is, it's in the commercial.
That really annoying commercial?
Yeah.
Really annoying commercial?
So number 8. Really
number 8. Commercial. Let It Go. Idina Menzel from Frozen.
By this point,
Idina Menzel.
by Adele Dazeem. By this point, if I hear any music from Frozen, I have like a negative physical reaction.
Yeah.
I just can't.
I know.
Which... the movie, I remember seeing it be like, oh, that was a pretty good little Disney movie. Okay.
Didn't.
Like, it was fine. It existed, and then, and that song, I can't listen to it ever again.
Well, according to the world, that is the greatest movie of our generation.
Like, according I teach to seniors I in see. High school who are obsessed
oh, yeah.
with that movie.
I didn't see it. I don't know that I've ever heard Let It Go. All the way through consistently.
Oh, I was about to be like,
but I've heard it
well,
enough
you're a
where
human,
I can,
so
I can
that
piece
can't be
it
right.
together and make the whole song.
Yeah. I was forced to watch Frozen by a girl of the opposite sex.
A girl of the opposite sex. I like that.
Yeah.
Not a person, a girl.
Yeah. Just emphasis was the goal. I know. I just, you know, I got tired. Like Frozen, that song.
Well, I've seen the movie one time, and yeah. I can never watch it again
yeah.
because of the obsession. And that song, I mean, she built it nicely. Okay.
People are obsessed. You know, they really just need to let it go.
Oh, stop.
Stop.
And on that note, we're going to number 7. Feminist Anthem.
All about
that bass by
Megan Trainor.
The album, the name of her album is Tidal.
Yep.
Deluxe in parentheses.
She didn't fill out the full application yeah. record label.
Yeah.
Like, oh, skip.
Drew
she an skipped
arrow.
It.
Yeah.
That song. We need to briefly discuss All About That Bass. Okay, number 1, I still don't know what no treble means.
I don't either.
I don't know what that's referring to.
Most people don't know that it's treble, and most people believe it's
trouble.
Stan Matthews.
No trouble.
Which also doesn't make sense. And even bass, I don't know, I guess because it's like down low? I don't know. I don't.
It stinks.
I mean, I do not care for that song.
I'm not all about that bass.
No
trouble.
We're not.
I'm all about
the trouble.
I'm all
apparently.
About good music.
Yep. Okay. So number 6. Here we go.
I don't know that song. Okay, go. I'm
not scared. Problem featuring Iggy Azalea.
Here's the one thing I'll say. Ariana Grande. The one thing I'll say is that Ariana Grande is good at singing. And I appreciate people who are good at singing. Yep.
She's got a song with Childish Gambino on her album.
Is it good?
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good. I did know it.
I mean, but that's what I mean. This song is like a very normal pop song. So whatever. I just don't care.
I really don't have anything to say.
Yeah,
about it.
It just exists. It's not the worst thing you've ever heard.
So far, it might be other than Turn Down for What. That's probably my favorite.
Right? I know it's my favorite out of the list.
Well, here comes your actual favorite, number 5. Fancy, featuring Charlie XCX.
First thing first.
By Iggy Azalea.
I'm the realest.
No.
Second thing first.
I will say that I thought it was I'm a realist for a long time, and I liked that better.
I'm a realist.
I liked that better. I didn't get it, but I liked it.
First thing first, I'm surrealist. Yeah.
By a realist, I'm a realist. By Rustin Cole. I'm a pessimist.
That song is... That's the catchiest chorus I've heard since, Shake It Off.
I can hold you down like I'm giving lessons in physics.
Just.
My God.
I can't handle the accent.
Because is she Australian or from New Zealand? I don't remember.
One of the two, they're the same thing.
She is from the movie White Chicks.
Yes, she is. She's
Wait, is she?
No, but have you seen the movie White Chicks? She looks like him.
She does look like a white chick.
She was dog that said that.
I'm 100% positive it's Marlon Wayans in a white costume.
Yeah.
That would make my life if I found out that were true.
She won Rapper of the Year. She did at the AMAs.
At the white girl?
At the white feminist rapper award.
Well, that's but even, the white girl awards. That's who votes for the AMAs. Like, who takes time, because that's a fan vote, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a fan vote. It's a fan vote.
It's a fan vote. No. We are a fan vote.
You would think, best rapper category, AMAs. She was nominated against, I believe, Drake, Eminem, Kanye West, Jay-Z, and Kendrick Lamar. And you'd think one of them...
Nope, I would not think
any of them.
At the AMAs, I would think that the girl who rapped Fancy would win. That's exactly what I would think.
Me too. All right. I don't agree, but I agree with the choice.
Okay, number 4. Talk Dirty to Me, featuring 2 Chainz.
Oh, I can't
Jason Derulo.
I can't. I've heard about too many school dances, which is a little disturbing.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason Derulo.
I don't know that I've...
You've heard Talk Dirty to Me.
This is something I do have to bring up for Jason Derulo songs. He's had three songs come out, I believe, this year. They all involve a phrase and then musical interlude, a phrase, musical interlude.
2014 is the year we stopped singing. Problems the same way.
But it's the same thing with that one, with Wiggle, with Trumpets. Yeah. Same thing.
I've
realized that.
I think up until this point, I thought Wiggle and Talk Dirty to Me were the same song. Because...
it's got the same pattern for the chorus.
I seriously thought till just now that was just in the same
song.
Like,
seriously...
Because I don't,
I think Jason Derulo's people wrote a song and he's like, copy-paste, new lyrics, copy-paste. Same thing.
Wiggle. I have no favorite part of the song. 2 Chainz.
2 Chainz
says Gilbert Arenas, Guns on Deck. That is a timely reference right there. Yeah. That happened in like 2008. Okay, 2 Chainz. Yeah, it's referring to a basketball player who pulled guns out of his locker at an NBA arena.
Yeah, Gilbert Arenas, I remember.
Guns on Deck. Yeah. Mm-mm. 2 Chainz may or may not be mentioned later in the show. Number 3. Katy Perry, Dark Horse, featuring Juicy J.
Okay, I kind of like Dark Horse. I can't handle the rap. It's just it's.
I call it a comp.
The Jeffrey Dahmer line is my favorite, out of those, and that's sad. Dahmer. That's really 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 sad.
Yeah,
but the song itself, like, it had kind of a cool
sound. But that's another one where the build up, and there's 10-15 seconds of just a beat.
Yeah,
there is.
I like that beat a lot.
Good portion of chorus, but it does do that.
But wasn't it Dark Horse that last year, the one that she was, you know, obviously summoning the spirit of Satan on the Grammys?
That was the one where everybody
she was like,
I didn't watch it. Yeah,
they were like, this confirms that she is in the Illuminati. Basically,
I'm a vessel.
What
else? I'm a vessel.
Okay, number two, All of Me, John Legend. Definitely stands out amongst the rest of these.
Oh, yeah.
I would like that song. I would like it, but I can never hear it again. There is never a time in my life where I can hear that song again, and that is upsetting.
Yeah, thank you, America.
Well, I'm doing, like, music for somebody's wedding right now, and I'm putting together the playlist, and, like, I can't put that on there anymore. Everyone would boo me if that song came on, which is upsetting, because it's, like, a great wedding song, obviously, but ruined. Just ruined. But that happens every time there is like a pretty good, nice song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes over.
They murder it.
We'll talk about another one later.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. And finally, number one.
Shake It Off.
Saddest song of the year.
Shake It Off.
By Pharrell Williams.
Happy. Shake It Off isn't in the top 10?
Nope.
Oh, because it came out late. That's right.
This is the most downloaded.
It'll be the most downloaded of next year.
It was number 12 on the.
Okay, because it hasn't had enough time. Oh yeah, I forgot about Happy. Song that I would like Happy fine if I just can't ever hear it again.
I liked it the first 2,000 times I heard it.
I actually don't think I've ever experienced a more overplayed song in my life than I did with Happy. I think that might be the most overplayed song.
Yeah.
At least that comes to mind.
You couldn't go anywhere without hearing
that's
it.
That's a contender, definitely. And I didn't like it from day one.
Which is funny, but you know, funny too, that song was an Oscar nominee.
Yeah, Despicable Me too.
Spawned the Big Hat Frenzy.
Yeah, thank you,
not
Pharrell.
I'm only a fan of Drop It Like It's Hot Pharrell, and that's it.
Like Pharrell.
Not voice Pharrell.
Get Lucky.
Okay.
Wait, no, you mean
I'll
throw
you
on the voice?
Yeah.
You say voice role?
Yeah.
See, I think he's like the best coach that's ever been on the voice.
I don't watch it enough. But
anyway, that's beside the point.
Hey, he's better than CeeLo. I'll give him that.
He's better than any female who's ever been a coach on the voice.
Yes. My favorite one that has been on there, Shakira, just goes,
100%.
I never know what she's saying. You know, Blake. You know, Blake's like,
yeah.
Can I get an interpreter?
That's the thing.
Whatever
that's
say,
when he's
Mamacita.
Sober.
Yeah.
When he's drunk, he's got no
idea. Anyway.
Yep. Okay, so there were the 10 most downloaded songs of 2014.
So, now we're going to move on to a second list. So that's the general populace, you know. That's what the people are listening to, the kids these days. Now,
it's not all the young people.
We go into another list now. This is for the Grammys. So, I'm going to read off
if you don't know what the Grammys are, they're the awards.
The big fancy music awards.
Yeah.
Prestigious. Yeah, they are. They're the prestigious music awards. They're what the Oscars are to the movies.
That's a big pat on the back, too.
Just so you'll understand.
You saw a lot of movies.
These are what the Tonys are to theater. So now that just clarified
for two listeners.
Yeah, now they understand. Now they understand.
Who is Tony?
This is the ESPYs for sports.
Right. These are the, is it the Dundies?
These are the Dundies.
of the Office. Okay. So, Song of the Year for the prestigious Grammy Awards. First nominee, All About That Bass for Song of the Year.
Previously touched upon.
Number two, Chandelier, which I'm down with.
Yeah. I like that song.
It's a cool song. It's a well-written song. It's like an interesting...
Makes me want to swing from a chandelier.
It does. Number three, Shake It Off. Listen, I'm a Taylor Swift fan. That is not a terribly well-written song. Like, for what it is, like, it's a catchy radio single. That's fine. I'll give it that. But for Song of the Year...
Yeah, she knew what she was doing.
Yep.
Oh, she. Yep. That's what I'm saying. Like, it is... Yeah. It was concocted in a hit-making factory.
Concocted.
It was, though. Like, it's just like it a... That it was, it's a machine. That's what that song is.
Yes. It's also the FSU anthem for 2014.
Yes. Stay With Me, which gets a fun reaction from Colby.
That's FSU's theme song.
To Jameis Winston.
That's what I was about to say. It's also Jameis Winston's defense attorney's. Yes.
And then last on the list, Take Me to Church. As far as like a well-written song... I mean,
it's weird how popular that came out of nowhere.
It's another.
What is he, an Irish?
Yeah, he's Irish. I mean, it's another situation where it's like something that's different.
Yep. I had first.
But I mean, that's what launched Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
He did the A-Team, which was different. And
I'd first heard Hozier. How do you say his name?
I think it's Hozier.
Hozier.
Who?
Who for me is from Indiana, actually.
I'd first heard him on the soundtrack for Wish I Was Here, There.
The
Zach Braff.
Wish I Was Here.
Yes, the Zach Braff movie, the soundtrack. He had a song on there. Really good.
Well, anyway,
like that. I mean, the actual message of the song, don't endorse.
I mean,
I do.
As a Christian and regular church attender, I mean, yeah, that's not...
You mean it's not about catching a ride to church?
It is not about catching. It's not about the church van. It's not.
Nope.
It's not. But as far as like a well,
I was never good with
written song. Yeah, it's like it. I think it's a well written song.
Agree.
A little blasphemous, but a well written song. So
the best ones are. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the Grammys, though. It includes All About That Bass and Shake It Off as far as Song of the Year, the honors songwriting.
That was the Song of the Year nominees?
Song of the Year.
Okay, Take Me to Church, I get.
Stay With Me, I saw coming.
Stay With Me, I get. It, that's a song that I was like, well written, can't believe that it hasn't been written before. When I first heard it, I was like, this is a song that should have been made a while ago.
Well, if you listen to his album, a lot of his songs are kind of that way.
Yeah.
I love his voice, so...
Got a good voice. Give him that.
Chandelier, I get.
Yep. I get All About That Bass. I detest.
Yeah.
Anyway. I guess it's because I'm not a fat chick, so...
That was Zach's. Is that your... Stephen Colbert-like character coming back again.
I can't remember his name.
I don't remember it either.
Yeah. And then Shake It Off. Mm.
I mean, it's the machine. Anyway, so that's the state of current music today. I mean, it's just not...
What's record? Give us a record of the year nominations.
I think they're all the same except one. Okay. And that one, Take Me to Church is not on there, and what is Fancy? Fancy is a Record of the Year nomination.
You see, okay, so read off the nominations, please.
Fancy, Chandelier, Stay With Me, Shake It Off, and All About That Bass. Oh, it's actually a Stay With Me Dark Child version, whatever the heck that is. The Dark Child version. So that's the version for
the soulful crowd.
Yeah, for the soulful children. That for the African children's choir backs him up on "Stay With Me," a Dark Child version.
Okay. Here's the thing. This is why Kim Jong-un wants to. You know, this is why he hates America. Okay. Do you see? Do you see what we endorse here? This is what's popular. You lose IQ points. Literally. All right.
So hopefully, the reason we went through that is to lead up to the floaties this year. And hopefully introducing you to, even if you don't love it, it's in some way intelligent music. I think that would be a...
Debatable.
Yeah, it depends. But before we get to that, I believe we're going to take take a small break for us to kind of go through our list and see if you can get a message from our sponsor, Nike.
Yep.
Good day.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Swoosh. We'll be back. We're going to jump straight into the floaties.
Dun, dun, dun.
Music edition. We're going to start off with our first category, top five songs of 2014.
Well, we just read off the top ten worst,
yep.
So.
Yep, we did. And I have no crossover.
No.
With
I
previous
do not
lists.
Have any crossover, that is for sure.
Okay.
I don't know if we've ever had crossover music wise with the top.
No, I
know I haven't.
I may have four songs here that possibly five that none of you that neither of you have ever heard.
Yeah.
And that may be where we're at. I don't know.
Yeah.
What? Okay, number five for me. This song is called All the Time by a band named Bahamas. Heard it earlier in the year.
It's an island nation.
It's a slow, relaxing reggae kind of sounding jam. Guy's got a super high voice. Well, actually, it would be almost as if Matt Teason said, I'm going to write a reggae song.
Okay.
And this is what would come out of that.
It's called All the Time.
Called All the Time by Bahamas.
I have to look this up.
It's very simple. I think there are four lines in the song that are repeated, but it's a really good song. It might be 2.5-3 minutes long. Short song, relaxing. If you happen to find yourself on an island somewhere, on a hammock, with a coconut in one hand and a Hawaiian lady in the other, this is a song to be played.
The small Hawaiian lady.
If she is in your hand.
The dashboard.
It was about to say.
This is a song to play. So, All the Time, Bahamas. All
right. This will be my only song. I guess maybe two that are actually like singles that have been out. My number five is an Ed Sheeran song. If you've listened to the podcast, you know that I'm an Ed Sheeran fan. That song would be Thinking Out Loud, which I can be like a sucker for just like a traditional love ballad, but that's not so cheesy.
Yep.
Song's great. I think it's the best his voice has ever sounded. And if you try to sing along with it, you realize like, wow, Ed Sheeran has a really high range and I cannot hit those notes. So I was very impressed with his vocal performance. And I don't know, it's just like kind of a simple, nice love song. It's like kind of the ideal wedding song. And I'm really hoping they don't give it the All of Me treatment, because I'll be really upset if that happens. But I think right now it's like number four or something. It's climbed up. So that's probably about to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's a good song.
Yeah, I just really like it.
I realized that I couldn't, you know, hang with Ed Sheeran whenever I first heard sing.
That's true.
Yeah.
But there he's up in the falsetto.
Yeah.
He's just belting it.
Yeah.
And he does like some cool runs. I was probably the most impressed with his voice. But yeah, I just love this song. It's been from the first time I heard it. His album You Will Find is not on my list. I listened through it. I don't love his new album, but I really, really like this song. Yeah, it's kind of simple.
Cool beans. My number five is The Final Masquerade. Comes off of Linkin Park's newest album. I think it's the last track off the album. If I'm not mistaken, it's all Chester Bennington's vocals. Very anthemic.
Which one is Chester Bennington?
The lead singer.
The one who doesn't rap.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love his voice.
He sings, the chorus is just awesome. It was really, really, really cool. To me, it would be like a show closer, like one of those songs, one of the big "We Are the Champions."
Yep.
Kind of.
Okay.
I like Linkin Park sometimes.
Their new album's really good.
Okay. The Final Masquerade.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right.
Okay. My number four is a song called "Divisionary." Do the Right Thing, that Do the Right
Spike
Thing
Lee movie
is in parentheses by a band named Ages and Ages. This is one that I somehow stumbled upon to, but it everyone's heard with a little help from my friends by the Beatles, mm-hmm. Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah,
this song is a lot like that one. Starts off just a guy singing, builds up, instruments finally get the full choir, and there's just a choir of voices singing and the full band, and it builds. It's kind of it's got a Beatles, Beach Boys type of sound to it. It's a really good song. I suggest looking it up.
Cool.
Because I'm sure that nobody listening has heard it.
I mean, I have not heard it. You're getting us some like
yeah,
obscure ones, yeah. Which I'm cool with.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know, I don't know if it was a purposeful thing to keep mine a little more mainstream. Well, here's what I try to do. I try to represent artists
yep.
that I liked that were not on my albums okay. list. So, and one of my favorite artists this year is Sam Smith. I'm a big fan. I've never heard a voice like his in my life. I love his voice. Mm-hmm. And I do, I bought his album. Whole Thing isn't my favorite. It's a little sappy at times, a little just like you're wallowing in your misery. Okay, you can sing high, that's good. But he has one song in particular. First time I heard it was when he was on SNL doing, like when he was the musical guest. The song's called Lay Me Down. You heard that?
No, I have not heard that one.
It's his best to okay. me by far.
I'll look it up.
It's so simple. It completely like relies on his voice. And it's one of my favorite male vocals that I've heard in a long time. But it's a it's just another really pretty, simple love song, which isn't always my shtick, but I guess this year, which would be ironic because they're not directed toward anybody. But yeah, anyway, so Lay Me Down, Sam Smith, great song.
My number four is from a brand new band that came out this year that I heard from listening to, I believe it was as a Slacker radio show at work. They played, the song's called This Is The Time by Nothing More. It's got a guy, the guy who sings, first of all, the band's really good. It's kind of hard punkish rock. The guy who sings, he has a really high voice, but he does like this weird vibrato thing where he actually does it with his finger in his throat.
Like he literally yeah,
like
does
he
it.
Literally does the motion. That's and it's
really
it's,
creepy.
It's pretty cool in the song. He doesn't do it often, but he does it. But it's a real upbeat, fast song.
And it's called what?
This Is The Time.
By
Nothing More.
This Is The Time by Nothing More.
Yeah, you have to look it up. You have to look up the best performance version of it is they do an acoustic performance of it. It's kind of like acoustic, unplugged more than acoustic, but it's like, yeah. And you can actually see him doing the weird thing. It's pretty cool. The song's really good.
It sounds like a goat right now, but
really
we'll
good.
See.
Yeah, you'll have to check it out.
Cool.
Okay, number three for me. Colby's favorite country singer.
Eric Church.
Eric Church. The song is Give Me Back My Hometown. Now, I have one country song on my list every year.
Last year it was Springsteen. Or maybe that was 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago. Last year it was Beat This Summer, Brad Paisley.
Another winner.
I like that one.
Back in
well, you put it on your list, so.
Back in 2010 it was Creeping.
Creeping.
Hadn't even came out yet.
Give Me Back My Hometown. Is it well written? Can't say it is.
That would be.
But I do, and I love this dadgum song. It's the stomping beat that it builds up to. The fact that he says, my friends try to cheer me up, get together at the Pizza Hut.
That's why I can't listen to this music.
That song is the class song of Bethlehem's 2015 graduating class.
Fit.
That's not. I want to be like. Did y'all listen to the lyrics?
Do you know what the song says?
That's not really.
No.
At all. a class song.
No, it's not. I can't explain it a whole lot. The song struck a chord with me the first time I heard it. And, shoot, I think I downloaded it back in January. Listened to it ever since. Love this song. Full endorsement. Give Me Back My Hometown by Eric Church.
Good we missed a good opportunity. Eric Church went on tour. I don't know if you know this. He went on tour. Half of the tour was with Hellstorm.
What?
Which is the oddest. Yeah. Okay.
He is a big metal fan.
Well, I listened through some of his album because I just kept hearing stuff about it. It was critically acclaimed. Very much like an arena. Mm-hmm. It's like country YouTube a little bit.
Well, the lead single from it, The Outsiders, is a country song. Well, it's like a hard rock country song for the first 3 minutes, and then it turns into like if Boston had picked up a banjo.
No, but I know what you're talking about.
Here's the deal. Man's awesome.
I'm not an Eric Church fan, but I give him props for trying something else and being Florida Georgia Line. Least favorite humans.
He does at least try. But they did like the. They do these like perform. It might have been an award show or something for country music. But he did a song and Lizzie Hale was the guest on the song.
Did they kill it?
She killed.
Does
it.
Every time.
I'm just like, why him? Do it with George Strait or something, which would be awful. And then all of a sudden they're touring together, so that's weird.
My number three, okay. As previously mentioned, I am a Taylor Swift fan, and I needed to give her something on my list. Her album does not quite make my cut, though I am a big fan of the album, but the album closer is a song called Clean. Have either of you bought the album?
Yeah, I've got it.
Did you listen through it at all?
What album?
T-Sizzle.
New one, 1989.
I have not.
Well, as all of you know, because you're human beings, Taylor Swift went pop. But not just pop, like 80s synth pop.
Yeah.
But the last song she does with Imogen Heap, so it's very kind of like ethereal, and you can hear lots of almost like weird techno clock ticking noises in the background, which is what Imogen Heap does. It's just it's one of her better written songs to me, and I like that it's not explicitly about boys. It could be about all sorts of things. It's probably about boys, but it could be about other things. Sure. She never comes out and says it, which I appreciate.
This song is about boys.
That's her new. That's her next album.
That sounded like one of those local ads for a boy store. Yeah.
Well, the thing, Taylor Swift is, like, there was a point in history known as before this album where there was, like, a divide about her where there were still, like, huge detractors. She was extremely popular, arguably number one artist in the world. But still, it never had quite the Beyoncé appeal where everybody in the world was obsessed with her. That ended.
Yeah.
This is getting insane. Scary, man. Like, she could be the next president of the United States. I don't think she's old enough. But they would change the law if she ran.
You might be right, yeah. She's kind of in that place that Lady Gaga was like 3 years ago.
But I think with more.
Everybody knew her.
But I think with more staying power.
Man. Oh, yeah. Well, she's not. She's crazy. She's definitely only going up.
Or I think if she does go down, like, it'll be on purpose. She'll be like, I'm tired of this.
I'm going to make a fully acoustic album with just me and my guitar. That'll be going down for her.
I'm ready.
But it'll be good. But
I hope it happens soon.
She'll go,
Like, Zach, you made a comment that you like her last two albums better than this one, correct?
That is true. I did like her previous two albums better than this one.
I like Speak Now better than this one. Yeah. I like this one a good bit more than I did Red.
See, and it's almost unfair to judge it this way because first listen, and actually first couple of months after I had gotten Red, didn't care for it. Then it grew on me over, you know, about the course of a year. And who's to say this one won't do the same and jump red? I don't know. But as of today, I like red better.
I like the acoustic songs on red. Yeah. Like All Too Well and Treacherous.
Yeah.
Like those are the songs that I like on red. And I like those probably as a style overall more than these. But I was never a fan of like I Know You Were Trouble or the song Red. I did not like her pop songs on red. And I like her pop songs, which are all of them for the most part. All right, well, they're all the pop songs.
Yeah.
For the most part, I like all the songs. I like most of them on this one.
Yeah. There's not any that I hate. I'll say that.
But Clean, for me, is the highlight. And so, yeah, it's my number three song of the year. And it really is. That's the one that I, like, I mean, I don't just put her album on and listen to it all the time. But that one is the one that I'll go through, and I do play a lot, is Clean. I do it when I, you know, take a shower or wash my hands or use Germex.
It's, okay. It's like the second part.
Dude. Wash my mean and clean.
Mean and clean.
Yeah. Oh, that's my laundry song.
My number three is a two-way tie because they come from the same artist, and I've only heard these two songs from this artist, and I love it. It's the first song, Sell Out, and the second song is Playing With Fire by Chelsea Grin. I don't know if...
I've never heard of her in my life.
It's not her. It's a band. Chelsea Grin refers to the scars, the Joker scars.
Oh, is that... That's called Chelsea Grin? It's some of it.
That's what it's referring to.
I still don't know her.
Yeah, you don't need to. okay. This is classic
cool music.
Yep. Very, very, very heavy. I heard it on a radio station. I think it was like Pandora or something played it. And there was one of those times where I'm like, okay, what is that song? I have to go track that song down. And I looked them up. They're really heavy. And they do a lot of kind of experimenting with their riffs and stuff, but they have two screaming vocalists, which is odd, but it works.
Can you tell a difference?
Yes, you can.
Could one tell a difference? Okay.
One's higher, one's lower. He kind of accents the other one.
That's what I do in my screamo band. I don't want to throw my voice completely, so I just accent. Mm-hmm. It's like a screamo.
And the second screaming vocalist is the drummer, which is odd too.
Yeah, that's what I am.
I don't know how you do that.
That is weird. Okay. Or odd. My number two is another song I'm sure that you have not heard. It's called Riptide by Vance Joy.
I know that song. That song almost made my list. I love that song.
Vance Joy, singer-songwriter from Australia. I really don't know what to say about this song. It's upbeat, kind of.
Some of the more interesting lyrics you'll hear in a song.
Definitely.
Favorite being, I swear she's destined for the screen. Closest thing to Michelle Pfeiffer that you've ever seen.
Yes.
Throw in the most random actress.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I bought his album. It's good. I didn't quite crack my top five albums.
Is the whole album good?
I like it.
So you would recommend it?
Yeah.
Would I like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Very much in my wheelhouse.
If you're a fan of singer-songwriter Matt Carney types.
Okay.
Which I am. I'm trying to think of some others that I could compare.
Well, you know, Vance Joy is going on tour with Taylor Swift.
Really?
Because I looked up Riptide, because I heard that song, and then I saw where she actually covered it.
Oh, what? Okay, I'll look that up.
It's good, too. It's like the BBC Radio Lounge.
Uh-huh.
Or radio, I don't remember. It's the British thing. Mm-hmm. And she covers it on the piano. It's really good.
Yeah.
And then apparently he's going on tour. He's her opener.
That's awesome. Yeah. Look up the song. It's really good.
My number two is a song by somebody who I think I'm sure we've previously discussed them, but before that'll be John Mark McMillan.
Yeah.
His new album is fantastic. Gotta give a shout out to Jake Engel for getting me into that one. And my favorite song on the album is called Future Past. If I don't know if the album technically produced a single, But if it did, I think this would be the one. This is the one that you would be most likely to hear. And it's the most like full-on worship song on the album. But it's just so good. And what I like about John Mark McMillan, his lyrics are really interesting, but then the music is also interesting. Like, the production on his album has a very, at least on this album, has a really distinct feel. It's, like, there's like a saxophone intro, but then there's still, like, the verses and everything, it's, like, on the cusp of breaking out into this, like, full kind of arena sound, and then it does, and it reels back. I don't know. It's just unusual to hear in this genre, because he's known as a worship artist. This is the guy who wrote How He Loves, which, if you've gone to church in the past 10 years, you know every word to that song. So he wrote that, and this is, but I mean, that song's very simple. And Future Past is to an extent, but still more complicated. The point, Future Past, I'm sorry, not Future Past, How He Loves is sort of like a, it's just very different from the other stuff that he makes if you look him up. But this is, yeah, this is the simplest song on the new album, but it's the one that sticks with me. It definitely is the one that is the most played for me. And he does a really cool version with Kim Walker as well.
I haven't heard that one. I've listened through the album and it is really good. Heard it on Spotify.
Yeah.
I have to check it out.
Alrighty.
My number two, surprisingly, comes from one Ed Sheeran.
What?
I know probably neither of you have ever heard this song.
No, but, I have.
Yeah, I know why you haven't heard it, but I know you don't even know it exists. It is Ed Sheeran covered a Foy Vance song called "Make It Rain" for one Sons of Anarchy television show.
Interesting.
It plays in the penultimate episode.
Yes.
As at the very end, which is Kurt Sutter is known for doing. And it is, it's his best. It's like up there with A-Team for me. On days, it goes by it and it kind of fluctuates.
Wow.
It is, it's killer.
Well, I will look this up tonight because
it's just,
I love me some Ed Sheeran.
You had to, it's like, it was like, it's that song you listen to on a rainy day. Because you had, cause I think it actually has rain playing in the background. but it actually, yeah, it's just the, it's like if John Mayer wrote a song and said, "Here, I'll play the guitar for you," Ed Sheeran. And it's a bluesy riff, and he kills it. Really good. Surprisingly,
well, that Sheeran
made
me.
My top five.
Yeah, Colby told me not to listen to it. Wait,
yeah,
till
you have to.
It plays.
See it.
Yeah, see it organically.
Well,
where it was intended.
Probably won't see it. I don't know. One day I think I'm going to break down and start watching Sons of Anarchy, but that day is not today.
Well, the song they had for their last episode at the very end. I wanted to put it on here, but I don't want him to know about it or what it's called or anything like that. No. So. That's the reason it might make my top 10 of the year.
All right, and it's number one for you.
Oh, it's me.
It's you, number one, numero uno.
My number one is a song called "Here We Go" by a group named Alex and Sierra. That is a...
I know Alex and Sierra from the X Factor.
Duo from the X Factor. The only group that ever won it.
And
never saw the X Factor.
Good. Okay. As I think I've previously said, I love all singing reality shows. That's like my guilty pleasure television. Except American Idol. That's not even guilty pleasure. I just am a real fan. The X Factor is the worst television I've ever seen. Because I didn't watch Rising Star. That's the one I couldn't do. But I just started hate watching The X Factor, and it was hilarious. But they were very good. I was big fans of them. I was a big fan of them.
Yeah, I've heard this.
I made a clone because I was such a big fan. There needed to be more than one.
I suffer from split personalities, so we were all fans.
I heard this song on the XMU station over the summer, which is the college station on satellite radio. Where they play some Well, basically the songs that college students are listening to, I guess.
Satellite radio is the place to get new music. That's what I found out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Always hear something new.
Really? Several of these songs I got from satellite radio. But anyways, Alex Sierra, it is a fast-paced duet, and I'm a sucker. I'm a sucker for duet. There are a couple in real life. Makes it even better.
Well, and they sound like Jason Mraz and Colby Calais formed a duo.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I assumed Alex and Sierra were both female.
No, it's a guy and a girl.
Aha.
He is Alex. She is Sierra.
Yeah.
You never know.
He is Sierra.
In my head, I was just thinking, this is a Veronica song.
No.
So I was like, why is it your number one? I don't get it.
No. Okay. It's a guy and girl duo. And yeah, they've been a couple, that was a big thing on the show. They've been a couple for a long time now.
I listened to the rest of the album. There's some good ones on there. The album as a whole wasn't great, but now this song, it was my favorite song of the year.
Okay, because I don't know that one. I know Scarecrow and...
Little Did You Know. Do you know that one?
I know the...
That's
We're
slow.
Just Kids and Stuff.
Just Kids, I think is what it's called.
I don't remember.
Yep, no, they're good. And that was my number one. Here we go. Cool. Alex and Sierra.
You've got to look up their actual X Factor performances because they're really. You got to look them up doing Gravity.
I really didn't even know that they were on the X Factor until I was doing my research today.
Yeah, they're good.
Did you know Carrie Underwood was on American Idol?
I thought that it was The Voice.
My number one will not be a surprise. Zachary, and maybe not to Colby. Do you have a guess?
Oh, you're number one?
Yeah.
Is it a song that will be in your...
albums list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Single or deep cut?
Ish a single. I don't know if it was technically a single. Yeah, I'd say it was a single.
Difference Maker?
Yeah. Okay. It's okay.
I knew it was.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
So, Need to Breathe is. I will never be able to say they're my favorite band because I will always say Reliant K for sentimental reasons. But for practical reasons, we'll say Need to Breathe is tied. I mean, they're basically my number one.
So good.
Just love them so much. And Difference Maker is my favorite song they've ever written. It never gets old. It's so deep. Like, and I love it because you don't even, like, there are different ways you can take it. It's about pride. It's about failing. It's about things that we just don't hear enough of in music, like represented. It's just a real human experience. And the bridge is amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
The best bridge of the year.
Or ever. I don't... but it is the best bridge of the year.
Yeah, this side of the Golden Gate.
I'd put it above. It's gotten me through more than the Golden Gate or the Brooklyn Bridge ever will.
Golden Gate probably caused more suicides.
That's true. I don't think this song has caused a suicide yet. I don't know that. But it's my favorite Need to Breathe song. And that's saying a lot. It is so good.
Favorite of all time?
Yes, ever.
Okay.
Like, Beats Washed by the Water, which that wasn't my favorite anyway. I love it, but it's not my favorite. But yeah, for me, it's one of my favorite songs of all time. Heard it live when they were at the Peanut Festival.
Yes.
I literally cried. I'm not even going to lie.
Had a religious experience.
I did. I was like, worshiping Jesus.
It was.
But I was not the only person crying. I looked around and I was like, yep, we're all weeping.
In this together.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there could be nothing else. That was my immediate number one. I knew there were no other options. So, number one, 100% Difference Maker by Need to Breathe. Probably makes the top five of all time. Just songs in general.
Okay. On that note, my number one will take a polar opposite turn.
Love the Way You Lie.
Little band put out a song, presumably based on the Battle of Wounded Knee. It's called Custer by Slipknot.
Custard?
Custer.
Like egg?
Like custard? Like Colonel Custer.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said wounded knee. The whole thing.
I get it.
Anyway. All made sense. It's a thinker. Anyway, Custer by Slipknot. The word to describe this song, chaotic. Absolutely chaotic. It's different because they open with, and usually they're not ones to do, really play around with, I don't know, the
weapons.
No, what's, how do I, and they're not ones to play around with how they record songs. Usually it's pretty straightforward, but it opens up with their percussionist, like, describing the beat with his voice.
That makes a lot of sense to me.
And he goes like,
oh.
And then the drummer goes, and then the actual drums kick in, and it just beats you over the head. It makes you want to run through a brick wall.
Slipknot probably does make you want to run
through a brick wall. It really does, whether for good or bad intentions. But, yeah, that'll be one of the big songs they play live that just gets the crowd just where they hurt each other. And I love it. It's my favorite off the album.
Well, I will probably not give that a listen.
You should. You really should.
We'll see.
You expand your horizons, John David.
I don't expect you to listen to the newest Mumford & Sons album.
I've heard it, actually.
Huh? Did you like it? That's the question. Did it sound like a sad hayride?
It is a sad hayride.
Okay, so now we're going to go into our top five albums of 2014.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah. This was not a hard one for me because I may have had five albums that I liked. Maybe six. Really.
I had five artists.
Like three, the other two.
For me, I had five artists that I really love released albums this year. So they all made my cut.
I actually had a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
I actually had a pretty good.
I had one that I wanted to put on there, but I just couldn't because it's an artist that I love, but they did not release an album that I love.
Pink Print.
It was the Pink Print, Nicki Minaj. Where is her best rapper award? She probably has one from the AMAs.
I'm sure. All right, number five for me. This album is called Strange Desire, and it is by the band Bleachers.
Yep.
I have talked about them previously.
I like Bleachers.
He is the lead singer, is the guitar player for the band Fun. The song I Want to Get Better would definitely have been on my top five songs, except for I was going to put this album on there. Yep. So I just said, say. So yeah, highlights from the album, I Want to Get Better and Roller Coaster, two best songs on there. Overall, pretty good album. I enjoy it. Strange Desire, Bleachers.
Number five is an album by a huge band. That band would be Coldplay. The album would be Ghost Stories. I did not love it when I first downloaded it.
Yeah, nope.
I could not get into it for a long time. Like, I liked a couple of the songs, but then I realized that you have to be on a long drive. You have to listen to it from start to finish. And you have to think of the saddest moment in your life. And then it's suddenly really, really good. I am not a drinking man, but if I were, I think that I would get drunk and cry to this album. Like, it's that kind of...
Okay.
It's very ambient. They have one upbeat song on the entire album. That song would be Sky Full of Stars, which... You know, is like their random dance.
Oh, so the one song I've heard is the one song. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I do like that song. I
do too.
Do. But the album as a whole, I mean, it had to grow on me. But that's really common with a Coldplay album for me.
Yeah.
Actually, every time it has to grow on me. And this one did. They said it's a concept album, and essentially it's just like, this is the story of my divorce.
Yeah, the concept is, I'm sad.
No, it is, though. That is, I think Gold Blade misunderstood. Like, your last album was a concept. I'm like, no, nobody got the concept of Milo Xyloto. Like, you said there was a story that none of us got.
I've seen The Wire since then. At no point did I think, oh, that is Milo Xyloto.
No, you see, it's like xylophone and toes.
Yeah. And then Milo is just a great name.
Milo and Otis.
Yeah.
It's a dog and a cat with xylophone toes.
Chris Martin watched True Detective, asked himself, did he believe in ghosts? He does.
Anyway.
It's all ghost stories.
I've got the album. It's,
like I said, going a long drive when you're very sad. And it will be a very good album. Some highlights. Again, there were some songs that might have... Because I loved Magic. That was the first single. And then I really like Ink and True Love. And
Ocean's
is
my favorite.
Ocean's is good.
Yeah.
Another's Arms might be my favorite. The whole production and everything. I don't know. It's just very... I will say this. It's called Ghost Stories. And you do kind of feel like you're in a sad graveyard with non-threatening ghosts. Like, that's the feel of it. And you're just, like, watching them go by.
I'm in the memory.
It's kind of wet out, you know. Just, like, English countryside. I don't know. I did end up liking it, though, eventually. And Coldplay's one of my favorite bands, so, you know, I'll be a fan.
My number five album of the year is... I don't know if it's called Four or... self-titled. It's Black Veil Brides album they released this year. Not much to say about it. It's if you're a fan of the first two albums and wasn't a particular fan of the third album, you will like this album. Because it was the highlights of it, it was produced by Bob Rock.
Oh,
who
Bob Rock,
best in the biz.
He produced Metallica Black album.
Yeah, Oh, and, well, I actually know what that is. I'm proud of myself.
Yep. That's what I thought that was kind of a highlight because he's, you know, that to me, that's like the best album of all time, pretty much. But, yeah, that's about it. It's pretty good.
Cool.
It's all right.
Okay. Number four for me is an album full of songs that were released a long time ago, but the album itself came out this year.
I know what you're going to say.
You do. And that album is the soundtrack from Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's a great soundtrack.
Yeah, I may have listened to this album more than any other album this year.
It's so well put together.
It's just, it is awesome. And it hit upon, might be my favorite time in music.
It is mine. It's the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. Highlights being Hooked on a Feeling, Blue Suede. Classic right there. Love that song. Spirit in the Sky. Who doesn't like that song? Pina Colada song.
If you like Pina Coladas.
Yes.
That one, in case you were wondering.
Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
To help you.
Ooh, Child, I Want You Back, Jackson 5. This is a classic album. And it did make me happy that it was one of the top-selling albums
like,
of 2014.
Yeah.
Greatest hits of the late 70s.
Yeah, it is. It basically is. Just my favorite ones from the late 70s. I really, really like this album. And if you watch Guardians of the Galaxy, there's a good chance that you've listened to the album too. Because the music, it plays such a big part in the movie, and it's just fun. Good stuff.
My number four album is the previously mentioned Borderland by John Mark McMillan. I said a lot about it before, so I won't go on about it this time. I'll just say that the lyrics, I'll tell you, I still don't know everything that he's talking about. Because sometimes his metaphor goes to a place that I don't fully understand, but I'm cool with it. He's just smarter than I am. But he has a song in there, it's called Guns/Napoleon. He does a lot of, like, songs with slashes in the title. And where he compares...
Guns to Napoleon.
No, he compares Jesus to Napoleon.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's cool in the You Keep Coming On, Just Like Napoleon, I Lose My Head at Dawn, and The Bloody Revolution.
Okay.
It's really cool, though. Like, he writes really interesting metaphor. At one point, it's in the opening song, which is called Holy Ghost. And I swear he says the lyric, I think it's like, the geeks, they know when you're coming. I want to find a different lyric because it doesn't make sense in my brain, but I really think that's it. And again, I think he knows what he's talking about, and the rest of the song's so well written and sounds so good that I'm going to give it to him. I just don't fully understand. But I like that. It's challenging music, and I always appreciate that. But seriously, sonically, it's just like a beautiful album. And it's been on pretty constant rotation. I would highly recommend the album Borderland or Borderlands. No, I'm trying to remember. Oh, well, you'll figure it out.
My number four is also a self-titled album from two Christian metal outfits who kind of formed together.
Interesting.
The band's called Woven War. The album's called Woven War. Basically, the members of... Well, after... if you don't know, I'm a big fan of As I Lay Dying.
Yes.
And after their singer went to prison, the other four members pulled like an altar bridge move and formed another band with the lead singer of O Sleeper. And it's pretty much the same thing, but with clean vocals. So, if you didn't like all As I Lay Dying for the screaming, then... You'll like this for the clean vocals.
I'll give it a shot. I like As I Lay Dying.
It's
in concert.
It's kind of lighter metal. It's more. It's not as heavy, but it's. Oh, the singer's awesome. Like he can actually sing.
And what's the name of the
Woven War?
Woven War.
One word.
I'll give it a listen. And see
he's a good singer.
How I feel about that.
I really like him. The lead single's called All Rise. That almost made my top five, but I didn't because I put it on albums.
Understand. Yeah. Go for it.
All right, number three for me.
Oh, yeah.
Is...
this would come up.
Yeah. Whenever I first started making my list, I thought it might wind up being higher, but this is Turn Blue by the Black Keys. I love the Black Keys, one of my five favorite bands, probably.
I want to like the Black Keys.
Yeah.
I don't hate them. Just all sounds the same.
Not to be confused with the Black Eyed Peas.
Yes, the Black Eyed Keys.
Black Eyed Keys.
That
would be a combination.
The Black Eyed Keys. I would not
want to see that. I like the Black Eyed Keys. Black Eyed Keys. I'm going to say it now. I like the Black Keys. I like most of their stuff. I share the circumstance, I guess, with Zach and when Michael Holder that we saw them.
Yes, we did.
Before they were ever big.
Yes, we did.
And like their stuff. Yeah. I mean, it was good. I really wish I would have seen them with their full catalog now.
Yes.
Because they have some really good songs.
I feel like the Black Keys is great movie soundtrack music. Or really good background music,
okay.
Like when you're driving in a muscle car.
Well,
but
you see what I drive.
You do. I drive an Altima, so it's not as well suited for that. I have nothing against them, and I've tried hard, and just can't.
I love them. The album opener is my favorite song on there. It's called Weight of Love. It's 7 minutes long.
I do love a big long
like a slow song about a breakup. It is basically okay, Colby will get this. Have you listened to Kings of Leon? Knocked Up? Have you heard Knocked Up?
Yeah.
This is their Knocked Up.
Okay.
The album opener that is 7 minutes long and too slow to open an album. But yeah. It might have actually been my favorite song of the year, but like I said,
right.
Coming up on albums, the title song, Turn Blue, it sounds like, basically, okay, in the movie Wolf of Wall Street, when he takes the Quaaludes, that's what I would think this song, you know, what music would sound like to him is what this song sounds like.
Okay.
It is so... Slow. I really don't know how to explain it. But it's a good one. And then Fever, which was the lead single, and then a song called Gotta Get Away, more upbeat. Love Black Keys. Really good album. Not as good as El Camino or Brothers, but it was good. And my number three for the year.
Cool. Speaking of Kings of Leon, I have drunken the Kool-Aid.
Welcome aboard.
My favorite song by them is Pickup Truck. That's the most Boniface song I've ever heard in my entire life.
But you love it.
I love it. Well, that's what I like about them. I'm listening to it and I'm like, yeah, I'm in Boniface. Yeah. I'm back home. Here I am.
I way overplayed that song to the point where I can't listen to it anymore.
It's not.
It's just kind of, it's like a, I don't know, it's a perfect song. Yeah, I love it that is. Song.
My favorite
anyway.
Song's Charmer. It's not Charmer.
Four Kicks.
My number three.
Might be Four Kicks.
Milk.
No,
I can't do that. They're really early stuff. I can't. No,
I've gotten into the really early stuff more recently. Like, I love it.
I feel like the way people are with the really early stuff of Kings of Leon is how I am with the really early stuff of Regina Spektor, where I love it, but anyone else tries to listen to them, I'm like, no, don't do that. You won't listen to any of her other stuff.
You won't get it. Yeah,
exactly. But my number three is by one of my very favorite artists. I was so happy that he finally released this. Andrew McMahon is the man responsible for Something Corporate and Jack's Mannequin. They're all basically solo projects. Like, he'll have other people in the band, but it's him. He's doing everything. And he just gets other people to, like, go with him so he can tour. But he has now gone fully solo. And he released an EP last year that was just called Andrew McMahon. His new project is called Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, which is also the name of his album. And he's playing around a lot with more electronic music, like a lot of beats, a lot of drum machine kind of stuff.
Is he becoming Owl City?
No.
Okay.
No, because his lyrics make sense.
Okay.
So that's a big difference. He doesn't talk about, like, my alligator chair in the dentist room. Like, that just would be a lyric in an Owl City song.
Yes.
He's not there. No. It's not, like, fully electronic music in the way that Owl City is, but it's just, you know, it sounds actually kind of like Taylor Swift's new album a little more.
Okay.
But Andrew McMahon, he can be a love or hate because his lyrics are very, very self-referential. Like, if you haven't lived his life story, you don't fully understand what his songs are. But I like that. I think it's interesting, and I think there's universal appeal in being really specific.
Yes.
You're like, oh, I have another really specific situation that relates to that. So and that's in full force, maybe more than ever, in this new album. Highlights for me would be Black and White Movie, the opener Canyon Moon, and a song called High Wire. Those would be the highlights. And again, some of the best driving music to me ever. You just put it on, like, where you're going on the interstate. It's really, really good.
I'll have to look it up because I was a fan of Jack's Mannequin, especially.
And I would probably overall say I like Jack's Mannequin the most. Well, definitely more than Something Corporate. I'm not the biggest Something Corporate fan. But I love Jack's Mannequin probably a little more than I like the new stuff. But he's matured a lot, and I always appreciate that he's not making the same thing over again. Like, he's finding a new sound and even, like, a new voice for his writing. It's good. It's really, really good stuff. I love this album. I've listened I listen to it all the time. All right, number three.
My number three is a lot like Zach's, where it's full of only old songs. It is a combination of two EPs called Acoustic Sessions 1 and 2 by Smith and Myers.
Okay.
Not a clue.
The people in it are the only two.
Myers.
Smith is Brent Smith. Myers is Zach Myers from Shinedown. Both of them are from Shinedown.
Okay.
They broke off and did acoustic EPs of covers. It's just acoustic guitar, just Brent Smith singing.
And it's just covers?
And it's just covers.
I'll have to look that up because I love his voice so much.
The track listings. I'll give you all of them. Blue on Black, Kenny Wayne Shepherd. Nothing Else Matters, Metallica.
Okay.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, Otis Redding.
Wow.
Someone Like You, Adele.
is that one. Colby's nodding his head profusely.
London Calling by The Clash.
Okay.
In the Air Tonight, Phil Collins.
Oh, gosh.
Wanted Dead or Alive, Bon Jovi. She Talks to Angels by The Black Crowes. Black by Pearl Jam. And Runaway Train by I Can't Remember the Artist.
I'm excited about this now. I'm going to look this up.
They're very, very good. When we saw him live, he did kind of like a partial Wanted Dead or Alive. Well, he does the full song. And it's, these songs should have been Shinedown songs. That's what they should have been.
Jesus. There goes the Bubba Cup.
It's okay. We have paper towels.
Continue.
Yeah, Brent Smith just blows all these songs out of the water.
Sweet. I will look that up.
Because he's got a great voice.
I love his voice. Love it.
Yeah, y'all will definitely appreciate
John David
it.
Colby and I went and saw Shinedown 4 years ago.
Yes.
We were in Pensacola, right?
Yes.
This was year one.
Yeah. Well, Zach was still there, so...
Yeah, I was still there, so it's year one.
They were very awesome. That still might be my... It's a contender for best show I've ever seen. Live.
All right. Zachary, do you have a...
Number two.
No, I do not have a number two.
Numero dos.
I don't have.
You skip straight to number one. You went from number three to one.
Straight to
number
top
one. Five, but no number two.
I have three. I have one and three through five.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three for me. I mean, number two for me, because number three was the Black Keys. Number two for me is a double album.
It was a dubstep album.
Mixtape.
Album.
It was an actual...
A dubstep,
yeah.
Adele album.
Two-parter. Stone Mountain. Kawhi.
Yeah.
By Childish Gambino. Stone Mountain was all rap songs, and then Kawhi was all poppy. Kawhi is him trying to be Frank Ocean, I think.
Is he successful?
Yeah, he's pretty good. It's about as weird as Frank Ocean is.
Is he your favorite rapper?
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He's not the best, but he is definitely my favorite.
I mean, he's insane, and I mean that in a good... He's like a creative genius.
He is. Some of the lines that he comes up with, I understand why he isn't mainstream, because a lot of it is over people's head.
But Grammy nominated this year.
Was he really?
Grammy nominated. Yeah.
For
Best Rap Album.
Oh, because the internet? Are you serious?
Yeah, because the internet nominated for Best Rap Album this year.
Did you know that?
I believe I did.
I did not know that. That is awesome. Okay, highlights from Stone Mountain Kawhi. I'm actually not gonna give any highlights from Stone Mountain. Yeah.
I think we understand.
But there's a couple on Kawhi that are standout. The single from it was Sober. That's a really good song.
Is that a Pink cover?
No, yeah, it is, actually.
Mm-hmm. A couple of them are featuring Jaden Smith. Well, if you weren't intrigued before, you are now.
Yeah, you are now. That was the second song I was going to recommend. It's called Pop Thieves. And Childish Gambino sings, and then... To end the song, Jaden Smith
does karate.
Tells this...
You just hear him chopping boards.
Incoherent recollection of him camping on a beach with some friends.
Of course. Okay, Jaden Smith, like, I listened to one of his songs the other day. It wasn't terrible. It sounded like a Frank Ocean song.
I haven't listened to any of his stuff.
It just popped up on YouTube, like, really? In, like, the featured music thing. I was like, what? I listened to it. It was better than I thought it would be.
Better than With My Hair by Sister?
Well, nothing beats With My Hair.
I just know, like, on Twitter, he's the weirdest person.
Oh, yeah.
Of
he
all
is.
Time.
He, yeah.
He's male Miley Cyrus.
And if you appreciate his tweets, then just go download the song Pop Thieves, because the last 45 seconds, you'll be in heaven. Literally.
So, my number two was an album I was so excited about because this is a band that had not made an album for years. I don't even know how many years, but years. Like, close to 10 years, probably? Maybe not quite that many?
I don't know.
Over five? That band would be Nickel Creek. The album would be A Dotted Line. It's probably their best album to date. I don't know. My favorite's probably the one before. But it's their most mature album to date. And it's, I mean, it's Nickel Creek, so it's as folk can be. Actually, no, that's not true. They play around with some stuff. They play around with some alternative kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They're not like, they're not making mountain music, we'll put it that way. But it's a...
My grandma and grandpa used to play.
Exactly.
Like, seriously.
It's a...
to me, like, Nickel Creek is like the Shire. If you
that's actually a better... It is. It is more like Shire music. But it's a guitar, a mandolin, and a fiddle. And that's all it is. And they'll bring in a stand-up bass sometimes. But all three of them play and they sing. I mean, it's just really, like, kind of straightforward folk music. Highlights are Christmas Eve and 21st of May, and I'd probably say Love of Mine. But seriously, every song on the album's a highlight. There's not a bad song. Actually, there's one I don't love called Hayloft, which is a cover of some weird Canadian song. I don't like it at all. But that's the only one. And it's a... They just have a unique writing style, too. It's equal parts, like, poetic and straightforward. I don't really know how to describe it. All I know is Nickel Creek is in my top five favorite bands. I thought they were gone forever. And then they came back and released an amazing album. And I could not be happier. Zachary, one day you need to take the plunge. Because you will not return. You will gladly delve into that cave and live there.
I know that I like Nickel Creek. I just never have gotten around to it yet.
It's some of the most clean vocals you'll ever hear.
Well, the guy in Fiction Family that isn't John Foreman
That's
from Nickel Creek, right?
Yeah. He plays the guitar.
Okay.
The mandolin is Chris Thiele, I think, who is considered one of the best mandolin players in the world. And is also the lead singer for Punch Brothers, if you know anything about Punch Brothers.
You're not.
And Sarah Watkins is the girl on Stones Under Rushing Water.
Yep, I knew that. And
so you like everything from them.
Yeah.
You just need to take the plunge because it's some of the best. And their harmonies, it's just good musicianship. Oh, it's so good.
I'll do it one day.
They're in my top five bands. And this is... I was just very satisfied. All right, go ahead.
Number two... With my number two, I am breaking literally the only rule we have.
This is from 2011.
It actually is from 2011.
What?
Yeah. To preface why it is from 2011, I went to see a little band called Stained in the middle of March, I want to say. And after I saw it live, they played most of their last album, which came out in 2011. And when it came out, I liked it. But seriously, I immersed myself in this album for like three solid months. I listened to only Stained. And it was, I don't know, it was just a weird experience. I saw them do a lot of the songs off that album live. And they also made a documentary that's on YouTube about them making that album and the crap that kind of went on through it. Uh-huh. They ended up actually recording it separately and then kind of pushing it all together at the end. Which
in separate places or
separate
times?
In separate places and times.
Huh.
So yeah.
That's weird.
It's very, very odd. They ended up kicking out their drummer after the whole thing because he was kind of sucking. Apparently.
You're not but keeping it's, up. You're
it's,
gone.
Yeah, it's very, 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 very good. Highlights would be the big singles like Not Again, Throw It All Away was a favorite, Now is a good one, Paper Wings is just straight up. Paper Wings, when I saw that live, this is kind of what started it. it's all screaming except for the chorus. Aaron Lewis, when he's on stage, he's not a big showy performer.
Yeah.
He stands there, plays guitar, sings. That's all he does. Kind of like George Strait.
Okay.
So
I've heard him compare it often to George Strait. Yes.
He does this song, and while they're playing the intro, he puts his guitar down, lights up a cigarette, and walks up to the microphone and screams for like, it's just insane. And then he sings the chorus. He goes from screaming bloody murder to singing the chorus in just the best voice ever. And that was my religious experience of the year. It was good.
Okay, number one.
We're going to tackle this together.
John David and I share.
Speaking of religious experiences. Yes.
We share a number one. And that is...
Rivers in the Wasteland Need to Breathe. Duh, of course. Like, you saw this coming.
As soon as it came out, I knew, okay, here's my number one for the year. April.
There was no way anything else could top it. It's the best.
Yeah.
I think it's their best. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this.
It might be.
In ways, I like The Reckoning more. In ways, I like this more. Yep. I can't really choose.
I agree.
But as a cohesive, like...
Yes.
Piece of art. I'll go there. This is the best to me. Just from start to finish.
Yeah.
It's one of the most heartfelt albums I've ever heard.
The album closer is called More Heart, Less Attack. And Bo wrote it sitting in front of a mirror talking to himself. Be more just, heart, less attack.
Just all the things that he needed
all the
to
things
say
that
to himself.
Yes, that he needed to hear from himself. He put in a song, and good God, it is, man.
The album opener is a song called Wasteland. The chorus is, in this wasteland where I'm living, there's a crack in the door filled with light, and it's all that I need to get by. I mean, that's just... They just have the best lyrics, some of them. Besides Matt Teason, that I've ever heard.
They do. That dadgum song. And then later in the year, they released like a live EP. I don't know if you listened to that.
Yeah.
Did you hear the live version of Wasteland?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, he has my favorite male voice.
Yeah.
I just can't think of another more truly unique, powerful voice. And live, I mean, I've already said it. You'll just cry. You'll cry.
It's great. I don't even count Difference Maker whenever I'm talking about the songs on there, just because that one, obvious. It's like Deathbed.
Yeah, it is.
It's just
Head
and Shoulders.
You just can't. Yeah. Deathbed, that's reliant.
But I love Multiplied.
Love it. Grammy nominated this year. This is their first Grammy nomination for Gospel Song of the Year. Or
really?
Christian Song of the Year, whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, so they have their first Grammy nomination.
Yep.
I'm so mad they didn't get a Christian Album of the Year nomination.
It's garbage.
Because if you look at it's like Francesca Battistelli.
I'm letting go.
Got a couple dents in my fender. Got a couple rips in my jeans.
Yeah. Right. Oh, Carolina. Where the Money Is.
If you're looking for... If you're a Creedence Clearwater Revival fan,
yes,
who thinks, well, nobody can fill this void, somebody can.
That's true.
When I saw them live, they covered Have You Ever Seen the Rain, leading into Washed by the Water. They did You Can't Always Get What You Want, leading into something.
First time I saw them, they did Folsom Prison Blues, and that was awesome. But I do want to say, after I heard the song Brother, I just had like a... They need to do a full SNL sketch around that song. Just a montage from some new TV show. Brothers.
It does
hugging.
Sound exactly like the theme song. I think it was Jake that said it sounded like the Dawson's Creek theme song. No, not literally. It doesn't. But no, it doesn't sound like that, but it could be a theme song to like a teen soap opera type deal. But it's a... actually, that's not my favorite on the album. I like it.
No, I like it. It's not,
but it's
definitely not
a... the highlight of the
but
album.
But it is good.
The highlights.
The heart. I like the heart.
I like the heart. The highlights for me are will always be their big ballads, and that's going to be Difference Maker, Wasteland, and More Heart, Less Attack. If I had to pick three, I love Rise Again.
Rise Again's good.
They're all good. There's not a bad song on that album. The other cool thing about the album is they largely recorded it completely live. So they just got in the room with instruments and recorded it.
Yeah.
Which you can tell. Like, you can feel the energy. It's just good.
It is. It's. I like it when bands do that. They're able to play off each other.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cool thing.
It's a cool thing. And it's my number one album.
Mine, too.
Coming this year and last year.
Cool. Fun fact, I might have told y'all this before. Need to Breathe is they're very good friends with Chinedown. So that might be a tour.
You told me that.
Yeah.
And that needs to happen.
Need to Breathe also opened for Taylor Swift one time.
I remember that.
All 6 degrees of Taylor.
6 degrees of Taylor. She's the new Kevin Bacon.
My God. Okay, go.
Okay, my number one album of 2014 comes as no surprise. The new classic, Iggy Azalea, is my number one.
Yep.
They did.
I ain't got no type.
Oh, man. Why didn't we do a worse list?
I put one together about a week ago.
Well, I just ate a $300 hamburger, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I was going to use that as our closer.
Okay. My number one is the first album from Slipknot in 6 years called 0.5, The Great Chapter, which deals with mostly their bassist dying. He died in like 2009. His name is Paul Gray. That's why it's a great chapter. Very experimental for Slipknot. They released their longtime founder, drummer, Joey Jordison. I was heartbroken.
Yeah, because he's one of the two best drummers I've ever heard.
He's been voted the best drummer of all time, and that's saying something. Yeah. Best drummer of all time. And he is my favorite drummer of all time. He is literally my biggest, like, influence, if you would call it an influence for drumming. They let him go. They had the album recorded, actually, or a lot of it written, and then they ended up firing him. So they had to redo the whole album.
Drugs.
Because that's what I think it was. But he hasn't really said anything, but he probably will soon. Maybe one day he'll come back into the picture. That's what I'm praying for. But yeah, the album, it's so good. It's really, really, it kind of goes back to more towards their older stuff. A lot of, it's less, what's the word? It's less basic instrumental, where it cuts down on the guitar and the drums and the bass and goes more electronic at times, because they do have like a DJ and they have those people.
Are going attack over here?
No, not that far.
Okay.
The first song called, 19, is just Corey Taylor and like these digital sounds, and it's him like, it's not screaming, but it's like yell singing. you have to hear it. It's actually something I want to use in a film production if I ever get to use one.
Okay.
It's very cool.
Scream sing.
Yeah, it's called scream. Yeah, but big tracks. I mean, Custer was my number one song of the year. Actually, The Negative One, which is the first song they released from the album, is nominated for a Grammy. The album debuted at number one on the Billboard charts.
Out of everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Oh, they always
do. Here's a list of musicians that it beat out who had albums out at the time. Jason Aldean.
Uh-huh.
Blake Shelton.
Burning Down.
Ed Sheeran. U2. Sam Smith. And it knocked Florida Georgia Line off the number one spot.
Oh,
praise be. Praise be.
I was happy about that. So, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a great album. The new drummer does really good. He's supposedly Bruce Springsteen's drummer's son. Nice. Okay. So, yeah.
Good stock.
Yeah. No, it's not. Your drummer's Bruce Springsteen. No. It'd be much more interesting, but
yeah,
it's everything you want in a Slipknot album without Joey Jordison.
Everything I want in a Slipknot album. Well, so there it is. The Floaties 2014
Music Edition.
Man,
that was really long.
That was, yeah, we tried to go short.
We are not able.
I'm not able.
That's what I thought. I thought that at the exact same time.
Yeah, we did. We are about 30 minutes shorter than last year's.
Hey, well, we're taking baby steps.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get more structured over here. I'm not getting paid for this crap.
Yeah.
We just picking up people who like to talk.
We do. We enjoy talking. Anything?
Final recommendations?
Okay. Do you want me to go first?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. My recommendation, something I have not recommended before, it's a book that I'm currently in the middle of by Stephen King. One of his newer ones called Mr. Mercedes.
Is it about an evil car?
No.
He's done the evil car
before. He has. That was Buick 8, maybe? I don't know.
No, Christine.
Christine was the new
car. I know, because I missed a question on Trivia Crack.
Oh, if we're recommending things right now, Trivia, download Quiz Up.
Okay. I've got Trivia Quiz.
It's the new Sporkle. It's awesome. It's so cool. You play other people. It's
Quiz Up. Well, that's Trivia Crack, too.
It's called Quiz Up.
Do you do Trivia Crack?
No, I just...
Well, it's the same. You play against other people.
Okay.
And we're on it, and you should be on it.
All right.
Get it. Cool. Mr. Mercedes, about a detective who retires. Before he retired, there was a serial killer, terrorist, however you want to term it, that killed 9 people after he stole a Mercedes and ran over them. It was people in line to get a job.
So it's a
so he never solves it, and he retires in like first chapter. He's at home talking about how boring retirement is. Gets a letter from the killer. And then...
Which is a metaphor for the government. Yeah, running over.
So you're like, okay, it's going to be one of these. Then like 30 pages later, the perspective switches to the killer. And so now you know who it is.
Awesome.
And so the whole thing's
it's
like,
his mom.
No.
Don't look exactly. It's his mom.
But it is pretty cool that you're going back and forth between the guy who's trying to catch the guy and the guy who is just baiting him because he's... bored. It's different. And, you know, King.
Stephen King's at that point in his career where he's just like, that would be a cool idea.
Here's 1,000 pages.
Types up a book in like a couple days.
Yeah. Well, Lou L'Amour always said that like his greatest strength as a writer is that he could write anywhere. He always said it was stupid that people had to like get their space to write. And he's like, nah, I'll write 100 pages in a taxi.
Yeah.
So
Stephen... My God.
To me, like, Stephen King, because he reads every book and watches every TV show and movie.
The man does.
To me, I just see him sitting in his recliner and his left hand's typing. And he's not even focused on it.
I don't know how he does it, man. I don't know how many books that are over 1,000 words.
Yeah.
1,000 words?
I mean, 1,000 pages.
I believe.
1,000 words. I was like, well, I have, what, essays?
Well, I believe it.
Am I the next Stephen King?
His last book count was 72 or something like that. And counting, he puts out about 3 a year or 4.
He put out 3 in 2013. It's insane. Yeah, it is insane.
Well, my recommendation is Into the Woods. Into the Woods. I won't go through and sing the rest of the score.
Encouraging you to just go take a walk.
Look up. Unplug.
Stephen King book. Take a walk.
No.
That would be creepy.
Into the Woods is a musical I was in high school. It is, ever since then, one of my favorite musicals in the entire world. It's so brilliant. The film version is excellent. It is, I mean, and I'm like a true fan, so they stayed really faithful, so I'm very happy. But if nothing else, go see it for the performances. Particularly Emily Blunt gives I'd say a career best. It is, not that she's had like that long of a career, but
even though she was in that movie.
Yeah. Emily Blunt.
Nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yep, she is. James Corden, who you probably don't know, but who's about to take over for the Scottish dude who has Craig Ferguson.
Mm.
So he's about to. So he plays the baker, which is the male lead. Excellent. Chris Pine can sing and is hilarious. Meryl Streep can sing. She's Meryl Streep. She's, you know, what you expect Meryl Streep to be. She doesn't look at the. It's so good. Also, like, you knew Anna Kendrick could sing. What you didn't realize is how high Anna Kendrick can sing. Like, she's hitting like some opera notes in there. It's so good. So go see Into the Woods.
She is attractive.
I do like Anna Kendrick.
Oh, I love Anna Kendrick, and she's excellent. Everybody like excellent.
Okay, I have two recommendations. One being a YouTube channel, which I've already recommended to Zach. It's called Cinema Sins. If you're like us, and if you're listening to this, you're probably kind of like us. You have to go watch this YouTube channel. There's two guys who make videos about everything wrong with the movies you watch.
Yeah, and every mistake.
A lot of them are very, very good points. Most of the time, they're just being kind of douches towards everybody.
Yeah.
But most of the times, they point out really interesting plot holes and just really good stuff. Nice. It's very, they're very funny, but very informational too. And it's really fun to go on a kick to those movies you hate, like the Twilight. They do the Twilight series. They do Lord of the Rings series. All the Spider-Mans. Yeah. That, and I will recommend for pure joy the new Pop Goes Punk album.
Released
this year.
What are some of the covers?
I have downloaded a few of them. Upon a Burning Body, who I don't listen to. And Ice-T covered Turn Down for What?
Ice-T.
Ice-T. They
He left Law & Order SVU or whatever he's
called. Oh, he has a metal band.
Ice-T does?
Yeah, it's called Body Count. Whoa. So they covered this, and they added lyrics, which are partially Jason Aldean's My Kind of Party mixed in with Turn Down for What. It's pretty crazy.
Okay.
August Burns Red, a very favorite band of mine, covered one Wrecking Ball. And it's good. And it's pretty good. One band, I don't know who they were, covered I Knew You Were Trouble. And it's really good. I'm trying to think of who it is, but somebody covered Hold On, We're Going Home.
Oh, yeah.
I love that song.
Really good.
I really do.
That one's really good.
It's a favorite Drake song.
Those are the ones I've downloaded.
Just
hold on. We'll see if I can find. The tracks are, I don't know who Tyler Carter is, but he covered Paramore's Ain't It Fun. We Came As Romans covered I Knew You Were Trouble. And the guy can sing as high as Taylor Swift can. It's a little sad. Set It Off, I don't know who they are, covered Problem by Ariana Grande.
One Man's Problem.
Crown the Empire covered Burn by Ellie Goulding.
Not a favorite of mine.
Ocean's 8 Alaska, who I don't know.
Oh, so good.
Covered Drunken Love. Youth in Revolt covered Royals. I have heard that song and it's really good. Volumes is the band that covered Hold On, We're Going Home. That's probably the best overall. You would really like it on the whole thing. I don't know what the song Sweater Weather is. I don't. Chocolate is a song they covered. State Champs covered Stay the Night by Zedd and Hayley Williams. And Palisades covered Happy by Pharrell Williams.
I don't want to hear any version of that song.
Yeah.
But yeah. That sounds... I'll look that up. That sounds
pretty
good.
Of my favorite things is to go on iTunes and just like listen to all the... Or Spotify and listen to all these songs.
Well, so we are setting sail back for the place we came from. Back to shore. There we go. That's it.
And
set and sail back to shore.
This episode is sponsored by John David Brown's improvising narration.
Flawless.
We'll be back with a movie edition.
Yes, we will.
Tonight. And what?
No. No.
After these messages.
From Nike.
From Adidas. Okay, we're done.
Yeah, we're done.
I'm going to leave you with this. Best line of 2014. The words of 2 Chainz. I just ate a $300 hamburger.